Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
Screw you guys. And that guy is too dumb. Think about the booking on that. That explains even less. This was the absolute worst thing I have ever seen any time in my entire life, and now I'm gonna go kill myself. Oh, what can you do? All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, I'm your host, Dirt. And today we're here to talk about Monday Night Raw, which, wow, quite a mixed bag, that show. The bulk of the show was actually pretty terrible, pretty cheesy. Some parts of it downright atrocious. But then it ended with one of the hottest angles on WWE television in years. Quite amazing to see how they can actually take something like NXT, which most people at this point have written off as being inconsequential, and turn it into something great, although, who knows, it may only be for one night. WWE has a tendency to build up great things and then forget about them, get sidetracked, push them aside, but regardless, the ending of Raw got people talking, and it's a pretty big deal. And we will get to it in time. But before we get to that part of our discussion today, we will take a look at some of the other news and notes from around the world of professional wrestling. If you listened to the show on Friday, you know I mentioned the new AAA video game coming out. It's actually... Now it's cursed. It looked pretty interesting. It looked like it had some good work put into it. It looked like it might be a lot of fun. And it would be something to... grab a pretty good foothold in the wrestling video game market here in the United States, since Impact was atrocious and most people feel that the WWE games are getting very stale. So looking to break into the market. The problem is it is launching the same day as the new Madden. And as you know, Madden is one of the highest selling games every year. And it's just one of those phenomenally bad ideas to publish another game within, really, a week on either side of Madden. You don't want to do it the week before, you don't want to do it the week of, you don't want to do it the week after. There's kind of that window that Madden just takes over, and you don't want to have your game coming out then. But unfortunately, that's what they're doing with AAA, so it may not do as big business as it probably should. But we'll just have to wait and see. Maybe they will change it. They still have time to move it to another time slot. Also, Evan Bourne. Last week, Evan Bourne being in the main event on Raw caused a lot of chatter. A lot of people said that that was really cool. The question is, who do you thank for that? As it turns out, John Cena. All of you guys who are Cena haters, but you thought it was great to see Evan Bourne on there. Well, the reason why you saw Evan Bourne on there was because John Cena, in fact, went to Vince and said, Evan Bourne is great and you need to push him. And Vince McMahon said, well, you know what? Bryan Danielson is a smaller guy, but we're going to push him. And low-key, Caval on NXT is going to be coming up as the next big guy out of there. He's a smaller guy, but he's set to get another push. So therefore, they thought, well, maybe we should grab another smaller guy and push him. And then perhaps down the line, when they're ready to start some feuds, they can do a Bryan Danielson, Evan Bourne, low-key three-way. Some sort of mix-up with those guys, which, by the way, sounds awesome. But because John Cena pushed for Evan Bourne to get some more attention, he got some more attention. So, all of you wondering, John Cena basically did a 180 from what Shawn Michaels did back when Shawn Michaels was the largest a-hole in the company before he found Christ and became the nicest guy you've ever met on the planet. Shawn Michaels would look at a situation like this where he'd say, there's not a lot of top talent, so therefore, I should be the guy that you're pushing. John Cena, on the other hand, said there's not a lot of top talent because of injuries and everything, so you guys should be pushing this little guy who you've paid no attention to. So you at least have to give John Cena credit for that. Let's see, what else is going on here? In case you were wondering, Extreme Rules pay-per-view, terrible. Did less than 200,000 buys. They're probably looking at about 175,000 buys. Preliminary numbers are around 180-something, but those numbers drop significantly as the actual totals come in because a lot of cable companies, pay-per-view providers, they just do estimates because they know it's still going to air a few times, and they go, well, you know, I think we'll get another, 20,000 buys off of this on Time Warner Cable, and then they end up getting five, you know. So that just kind of happens here and there. Let's see here. Also, Undertaker probably out till SummerSlam. And yes, the prevailing storyline right now is that Kane will be the one who took the Undertaker out. So his journey will go for a couple months until SummerSlam, until he's finally ready to reveal who it was, and it will be him. There you go. A lot of the NXT guys, of course, have been on the road this past week, so that should have been a sign that they were getting ready to do something with them. But all of those quote-unquote cut guys who were gone from the company were showing up on house shows, working with guys like Finley, Yoshitatsu, Chavo Guerrero. Just basically a lot of guys who, you know, Fit Finley is not going to be considered one of the top stars of the company. Chavo Guerrero is not going to be considered one of the top stars of the company. But they are guys who definitely, they either have a good fan face reaction or a good fan heel reaction. So you put a guy against them, they immediately appear as a heel or a face. And a guy like Finley or Chavo can actually teach some stuff to the new guys. And so that's a pretty good deal for them. If case you hadn't heard, Khloe Kardashian has been axed from being a guest host on Raw, and instead they got Rob Zombie. Hopefully he won't be directing any of the segments, otherwise you're going to find out that John Cena's mom was really a stripper, and John Cena liked to kill squirrels as a child, and I don't know, it'll end up just being terrible. Oklahoma City was supposed to have a show. They canceled the show. It was going to be, I believe, a house show, and they ended up canceling it. And they said, don't worry, if you bought a ticket to the show, you can redeem that show on October 1st. And we will be running, they announced, we will be running the very first SmackDown on Sci-Fi from Oklahoma City on 10-1. So if you have a ticket to the, I believe it was the May 27th house show, you can use that for the October 1st Sci-Fi show. And so now it is official. They had made an announcement before, but now we're actually starting to get a better idea of what's going on. So SmackDown, October 1st, on Sci-Fi from Oklahoma City. And not only that, but it has been announced that it will be a special live show. They will continue to tape the episodes on Tuesday to show them on Friday, just like normal. But for this being the first episode on Sci-Fi, it will be live. And so, of course, it's being billed as a tri-branded NXT SmackDown Raw show, which I don't think comes as any surprise to anybody. And, of course, speaking of NXT, there was the run-in on Raw, which, again, we will get to in time. But also, there had been talk that NXT might appear on Bravo. They were trying to get an hour of wrestling on another NBC-affiliated network. So, of course, Bravo came up as the next choice in the line in order to get a show on. And it kind of made sense to a lot of people that Bravo is a reality-based channel. They do a lot of shows with designers and redecorators, and I think they do one of those cake decorating shows, I don't know, whatever. But a lot of those reality type shows, and they thought NXT could work there. However, apparently somebody on Sci-Fi has decided that NXT actually does, it still does better ratings than a lot of the other shows on Sci-Fi. It still helps to bring the network average up. So therefore, NXT may in fact stay on Tuesday nights on Sci-Fi. So you may in fact get Tuesday night NXT on Sci-Fi and Friday night SmackDown on Sci-Fi just because Sci-Fi really likes having those numbers. And Sci-Fi is seen as a bigger network internally, of course, than Bravo. So who knows? NXT may just not have to worry about that. But having said that, WWE is then pushing for a Wednesday night show on Bravo, because they would love to have another hour of programming on television. And again, this would be used as another way to promote 24/7 and their new 24-hour cable channel, whatever it's going to be, their classicsondemand.com, all of those type outlets. So they can get another demographic, another group of people, get people watching Bravo with another show. But that, from what I've been told, it is less likely that they will get a Wednesday show on Bravo as opposed to retaining their Tuesday show on Sci-Fi. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. I think that's going to just about do it. I mean, there's not a whole lot of news and notes of anything else. Not a whole lot going on in TNA other than the fact that, of course, Jeff Hardy's trial has been pushed back for the third time. Felony possession of cocaine. Felony drug trafficking of opium. Two counts. Felony possession with intent to redistribute a Schedule 3 controlled substance. Maintaining a dwelling for drug use and or distribution. And a misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia. So, it still looks really bad for Jeff Hardy, but it's been pushed back again. And it doesn't say who's asking for these continuances other than the fact that they're getting these continuances. So we don't know if this is the defense or the prosecution asking for these added continuances, but it's not uncommon really for judges to do that. They like to allow that a lot of times if guys, especially if they are trying to get testimony and get it transcribed, get affidavits from people. Transcription takes time. I used to work in a department that dealt with a lot of legal issues. We had administrative law judges listening to cases and continuances, transcripts. Happens quite a bit, so it's not that surprising. Other than that, I think that's going to wrap it up for the news. So I want to thank you guys for listening to this segment. We are going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back with your look at Monday Night Raw with the A-Team as hosts, except for Liam Neeson, of course, which they never announced he wouldn't be there, but you pretty much assumed he wasn't, and he was not. So, commercial break. We will be right back.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to popculturenetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at popculturenetwork.com.
Check out www.lockerroomhq.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.popculturenetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.popculturenetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.popculturenetwork.com. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back on Wrestling Radio here in Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network, and we are taking a look at the Cyber Sunday edition of Monday Night Raw, or the Taboo Tuesday version of Monday Night Raw, if you prefer. But basically, it was built around what they called the Viewer's Choice edition of Raw. They would announce a match coming up. There would be your opportunity to pick a stipulation, an opponent, and a tag team partner, etc. And you could go to WWE.com and vote. And I was told that the voting was 100% legitimate. There were things that they tried to push for, try to make apparent that a particular guy is who they really wanted to be in the match by giving them a little bit more focus. But in the end, it was legit, which brought out some very, very interesting choices here. Show opened with Bret Hart. Teddy Long came down to the ring. They said, fans could go and vote. They were being announced live, so really, fans ended up with like a 5-minute opportunity to vote during commercial breaks. That was about it. But Teddy Long said he was happy to be there. Usually he's only on Friday Night SmackDown, so great to be on Raw. The WWE Universe was in charge. They were going to help determine the fate of the WWE title. So all the guys in the Fatal 4-Way were going to wrestle tonight with fans choosing their opponents. They said they were going to start with Randy Orton. And he did come out, but he had his sling on. He said, I want you to forget about all this viewer choice crap for a second. I want Edge tonight. He said, if you don't give me a match with Edge, I'm going to go back there and I'm going to take him out. And so he asked if he had a match or not. So Edge came out on the ramp. And Edge just basically said, hey, if Orton wants a match, let's have a match. So that way I can finish the injury I started. And Teddy said, okay, well, I have an idea. It's viewer's choice. Let's let everyone in the building decide. So Teddy said the fans in the building could choose the stipulations. Should this be a debate, a sit-up contest, or a match where Edge has to wrestle with one hand tied behind his back? So, of course, everyone in the arena cheered for wrestling with one hand tied behind his back. I don't know. Debate might have been good, but regardless. So, Edge said it wasn't fair, ran off, and Teddy then announced that the first match tonight would be Jericho versus The Big Show. They could have either an over-the-top rope challenge, a submission match, or a body slam challenge. And it was time to go to WWE.com and vote. So they went to commercial, they came back, and the body slam challenge, 48% of the vote. So that was the match you were going to get. So both Big Show, Chris Jericho, came down the ring. Big Show just basically stood there with his arms open, just basically told Jericho, come on, pick me up, try to body slam me. So Jericho slapped him off of, across the face. Show beat him down for a while. Jericho tried to go up top and jump onto Big Show. Big Show instead grabbed him, slammed him, won. He celebrated for a little bit, but then grabbed Jericho, choked him out. Jericho, he was tapping. He wanted Big Show to let go, but of course Big Show didn't and was tapping. So Justin Roberts grabbed the microphone, announced that Big Show had won a second time via submission. This is the second time in about a month that Justin Roberts has piped up with his own little joke. When Batista quit, he piped up, said, everybody, let's hear it for Dave Batista, as Batista was being carted out of the building the night he quit. And at the time, I thought that had to have been a Vince line. Vince had to have fed that to him. But no, in fact, Justin Roberts has been told that in some of these goofy situations, he is allowed to just kind of ad-lib a little bit, play it up to the crowd. So he did that again tonight with this announcing that the Big Show had won a second time. So Big Show grabbed Jericho, threw him out of the ring, and that was that. They had the Hart Dynasty in a match up next. They said that they could face either the Usos, the Dude Busters, or the Great Khali and Hornswoggle. So, of course, they did a promo with the Usos, and the Usos basically laid out why they should be facing the Hart Dynasty. And they played it very straight, very powerfully. You were supposed to vote for the Usos. They went to the Dude Busters. The Dude Busters did their normal, usual, wacky gimmick thing, played up the fact that they are just goofy dudes, and of course you were not supposed to vote for them. And then, of course, the last tag team was the Great Khali and Hornswoggle, which was thrown together just as a comedy goof-off that you were not supposed to care about. So, of course, they do the commercial break. They come back. Khali and Hornswoggle, 54% of the vote. So they get the tag team match. Now, let's think about this for a minute. The Usos did that run-in on the Hart Dynasty, did the splashes on them. They did the promo the next week. The big feud ongoing is going to be Hart Dynasty versus the Usos. And they basically proved here tonight that either the fans don't care about the Hart Dynasty, they don't care about any of the tag teams in the WWE, or quite simply, and this is actually what's most likely, nobody who watches Raw on a regular basis pays any attention to SmackDown. So, in fact, they voted for the guys who are always on Raw. And at first glance, you may think, nah, that's a little harsh. They just don't care about the Usos because they're new. Nobody cares about the Dude Busters because they're a joke. It's a bigger joke, though, Khali and Hornswoggle. So if you're going to vote for the joke team, you're going to vote for the joke Khali Hornswoggle as opposed to the joke Dude Busters. Okay, I can see your argument on that, but considering some of the other voting that happened this night, I think it's a better argument to say the Raw people in greater numbers don't watch SmackDown. And the ratings prove that, of course, but I think it's just fair to say that SmackDown talent is seen as lower than Raw talent, and we'll get to the proof in a little bit. So, had their tag match, Harts versus Khali, Hornswoggle. They basically had Great Khali beat up Tyson Kidd for a while. Tagged in Hornswoggle. Hornswoggle missed a splash. Tyson Kidd pinned him. That was it. Match was over. So, the Usos ran down to the ring afterwards. They had a big fight, and the Hart Dynasty basically beat him up and got over on him. So, they really wanted the Usos to get the match, have the Hart Dynasty get over on the Usos, but of course, since they went with the biggest joke team, they had to do the run-in afterwards. Then at this point, Jerry Lawler looked around. He said, wait, there's a problem. Took off his headset, walked away. Michael Cole was like, what are you doing? We're in the middle of the show. Okay. So then they did a close-up on Cole as he talked about the Undertaker being hurt, did your little SmackDown recap. They introduced, go to commercial, they introduced Bradley Cooper, I don't know what this dude's name was, but Murdoch, Copley, whatever his name is, and Quentin Jackson as the hosts of the show. So again, no Liam Neeson, even though they've been saying forever, the cast of the A-Team is hosting the show. You pretty much knew Qui-Gon Jinn wasn't going to be there, but whatever. Bradley Cooper comes out, and he looks a little confused, and he's looking around, and he goes, well, I was supposed to be, you know, out here with Rampage and Charlotte, whatever. But they're not here, but hey, we're excited to be here on Raw, and this is going to be a great show. And then he turned around and left, and that was all you saw of him for the rest of the night. So, at least he made an appearance. You know, unlike, Ashton Kutcher, who couldn't actually be bothered to come to the arena. That may not be the most fair description, but whatever. Or, you know, some of the other guys who have only made small appearances here and there. He just came out, did his piece, left. Whatever. So, they went backstage, and they had Jerry Lawler walking around. He's looking for something or somebody, and Murdoch and Rampage come out wearing fake mustaches, and they grab Jerry Lawler, and they pull him aside, and they pull off their fake mustaches and tell him, hey, we are the A-Team. And yes, they were playing their A-Team characters. This was not Rampage Jackson. This was not the dude whose name I don't know. This was Murdoch and BA. And Jerry Lawler says, I wanted to hire you guys because my crown is missing. And they said, don't worry, we will find it. Murdoch started doing this goofy British accent, talked about loyalty to the Queen, whatever. And they ran off to find the crown. So yes, Your segment with these guest hosts who have this movie premiering was that they were going to find Jerry Lawler's stolen crown and return it to him. And yes, this was a multiple segment storyline. And yes, this culminated in an in-ring segment. And yes, they played their characters throughout the entire bit. Regardless, the two left, Murdoch and B.A., they left the dressing room area. They ran into the Bella Twins. The Bella Twins talked about Quentin being an MMA fighter. They talked about the guy being in Murdoch, being in District 9. They said, "We don't know what you're talking about. You know, we're the A-team, and we've got a job to do." And they ran off, and then Murdoch turned around and said, "But I heard District 9 was great, and the actor in it was stolen of an Oscar." Gave his look at the camera, breaking the fourth wall, and ran off. All right, next up, they announced it was going to be Santino versus Vladimir Kozlov. They could either have a match, an arm wrestling competition, or a dance-off. So, of course, I immediately went to WWE.com and voted for a dance-off. Now, the two of them, they did absolutely nothing to talk about how Santino tried to get Kozlov to be on his tag team. They talked nothing about the segment last week where Kozlov turned on William Regal. They said nothing about any of their ongoing storyline. They just both happened to be there together. So they showed the vote, dance-off 84%. The most amazing part was 9% of the people actually wanted to see a match. I have no idea who these people are, but you people, stop it right now. Don't want to hear it from you guys. So, had the dance-off. Santino started out. He did the big Santino dance, acting all goofy, sexy moves, did his little cobra dance, and that was it for his. People were like, okay, well, that was, you know, pretty funny. They figured Kozlov, I thought he might do the Russian thing where he folds his arms and kicks his legs out, you know, the babushka dance from the Addams Family, whatever, something along those lines. But instead, he actually did the robot. He did a female aerobic dance workout routine. It was just crazy all the way around, goofy. He did a moonwalk at one point that actually wasn't half bad, much better than the one that Neil Armstrong tried to do a couple weeks ago. The place just went crazy. They loved Kozlov. He got a lot of applause. He was announced as the winner. He shook hands with Santino. But then he started ballroom dancing with him, spinning him around, catching him, spinning him off. Then he headbutted him and laid him out, did a goofy little thrust around his body, and left the ring. So, complete joke segment. It was goofy. It was kind of funny. I enjoyed it. But at the same time, there was already a bunch of goofy comedy stuff with the A-team guys, with that opening tag match. This felt like very much overkill, but you know, what are you going to do? They showed all the divas backstage. They said they were going to have a match up next. You could choose if you wanted a six-on-six tag match, a diva battle royal, or if you just wanted champion versus champion, Layla versus Eve. So the divas battle royal ended up, after commercial, getting 73% of the vote, which is not what they expected. They expected it to be champion versus champion. So all the ladies got in the ring, and you could tell that they had no idea what they were doing. Because this is not the match that they thought was going to be voted for. These women were just clobbering. They were doing everything ill-timed, throwing people out of the ring, and you could tell that they didn't know how to land. People looked like they were getting hurt. It was just really bad. I'm surprised no injuries came out of this. And there may be some get mentioned later today. I don't know. But it was just really terrible. You could tell that they had no idea what they were doing. But came down to, let's see, Jillian Hall and Maryse in the ring. They Jillian tried to celebrate with Maurice, saying that, like, look, the both of us won. We worked together. We won. This is great. We're great friends. But Maurice, of course, grabbed Jillian and threw her out of the ring in order to get the win. So that was all of that. Should be noted, though, that one thing, Eve did get kicked in the face at one point, and she had a big bruise and a little bit of swelling, but not as heinous an injury as I would have expected after watching that match. They showed Kane backstage accusing Sheamus of taking out The Undertaker, and Sheamus just basically said, if I was going to take out The Undertaker, I would have done it in front of the whole world in the ring. And Kane said he didn't like listening to liars, and they had a face-off, and that was pretty much it. So they showed up next was going to be Sheamus in a match, either versus Kane, Mark Henry, or Evan Bourne. And, of course, everybody who had hoped that Evan Bourne became a star last week were hoping that Evan Bourne was going to get picked for this match. But, of course, it was rather obvious that that wasn't going to happen because they just did that big segment with Kane. The whole point of having the Kane versus Sheamus face-off right before the vote was so that all the fans would vote for Kane. And, in fact, they did. So they ended up having 88% vote for Kane. The match was not as bad as I think you probably would have expected between these guys. I mean, by no means was it great. It was Sheamus versus Kane. But considering some of the matches that those two guys have had before, this was actually all right. Basically, Kane gave Sheamus the chokeslam, but Sheamus rolled to the outside, decided he didn't want to fight Kane, walked off. Kane got all upset. Sheamus got counted out. So Kane got the win, but didn't get the battle he was hoping for against Sheamus. And that was that. You know, the wrestling on this show was really lacking, which was a problem. This is much more an entertainment show than a wrestling show. And this has been the problem for a while, but pretty apparent here tonight. Let's see. They showed Wade Barrett backstage giving a promo. He said, you know, of course, he always knew he was going to win NXT. It was the start of something greater. He wanted to talk about achievements, his accomplishments. He said, ask me next week, because something was going to be accomplished that had never been accomplished before in the history of WWE, and he left. So, gave you a little bit of foreshadowing, but I think nobody really had hopes for anything watching the show. I don't think there was anyone going, oh, Wade Barrett's going to be the kickoff to a hot angle on Raw. So they showed B.A. Baracus, Murdoch. They were backstage talking to Ted DiBiase about the missing crown. DiBiase said he could buy anything he wanted, so why would he buy a stupid crown? So Murdoch said they could pull out a lie detector. DiBiase said those don't work. Quentin Jackson said he had a lie detector, which was him punching someone in the face until they told the truth. He and Virgil had a stare down. Suddenly IRS walked in. He was wearing the crown. He said Lawler had never paid his back taxes on the crown, so he had confiscated it. Then, out of nowhere, gas started filling the room. So DiBiase, Virgil, IRS pulled out little gas masks, made a run for it. They showed a close-up of Murdoch falling down, passing out, succumbing to the gas. The show went to commercial. This was the... You know, I can tolerate a lot of goofy stuff on wrestling shows, but this... I was not a fan of what happened with all this stuff with the A-Team. So, anyway, they had R-Truth come out next. He was going to have a tag match. They could vote for his partner being Christian, MVP, or John Morrison. So, of course, John Morrison, as a guy who is on Raw and who they had mentioned before, John Morrison and R-Truth had tagged in the past. So, of course, he got 54% of the vote. He was going to be against The Miz. They could choose someone to be The Miz's partner. Would it be Dolph Ziggler, William Regal, or Zack Ryder, the woo-woo guy? Now, here's the point where it became very clear how different the Raw audience is from the SmackDown audience, and this is what flavored the vote earlier I was talking about with Hornswoggle and the Great Khali. Dolph Ziggler was the guy who internally was chosen to be in the match. This is who they expected to be in the match. He has been getting the push on SmackDown as of late. It was expected he would be a part of this match here tonight, and he was going to get a push in front of this bigger audience on Raw that would hopefully carry over onto SmackDown. Instead, everybody voted for the one guy who is actually on Raw on a regular basis. That is Zack Ryder, the woo-woo guy. The guy who just had a storyline with Ashton Kutcher last week. And so he got the vote. So he's the guy, the woo-woo guy, Zack Ryder. Nobody gives a crap about this guy, but he's the guy from Raw, so he's the guy who gets the Raw votes. So this has got to tell you something about how well WWE is cross-promoting these shows. You know, if you can think back to a point in time when SmackDown and Raw were basically just the same shows. The show started on Monday and it on Raw, and it continued on SmackDown on Thursday. I think during that time period they did a much better job of building up these mid-card guys, because you had mid-card guys, some would show up on SmackDown, some would show up on Raw, and then they'd switch the next week. This branded breakup since 2003, I believe it was, has not really done a good job of building much of anything. And I don't know, this just kind of, proved it here. It just showed that a guy on SmackDown, seen as a SmackDown regular, the woo-woo guy on ECW, nobody gave a crap about. Now he's on Raw, so he's a Raw guy, so he's seen as a bigger star than a guy like even William Regal. So anyway, they announced that Zack Ryder got 45% of the vote, and they showed John Morrison trying hard not to break out in a belly laugh cackle at that point. So they did the match, and basically it was Miz for most of the match, because of course they knew that he was going to be in there. They weren't exactly sure who his partner was going to be. And they didn't expect Zack Ryder in there at all. So basically, R-Truth, Zack Ryder ended up fighting to the outside. Miz and John Morrison fought until Miz was able to get the pin on Morrison. And so Zack Ryder and The Miz won the match. They show backstage Bret Hart talking to Edge. Edge saying it's not fair. He doesn't want to do the match. Bret told him too bad. You either do it or you don't. Kane comes out, gets in Brett's face, asks if he's the one who hurt his brother. Brett just kind of looked at him like, why are you even talking to me, you big giant weirdo? Kane said if he found out it was Brett, he would leave Brett in a vegetative state as well. And Brett probably thought, well, I'm one seizure away from it anyway. I'm sorry, was that too soon? Anyway. Orton and Edge. They had Edge with one hand tied behind his back. They did a couple bumps, and then Edge just said, I'm sick of this. I don't want my hand tied behind my back anymore. So he ripped it free. Referee called for a DQ. Tried to get the spear on Orton. Orton booted him in the face. Booted him to the outside. Went to chase him, but Edge hit him with a chair. When he fell to the ground, he hit him again, which some people were like, why would he be hitting him in the chair if he needs to be at the pay-per-view and he's already injured his arm? Well, if you watch, these were very terribly worked chair shots. He didn't come anywhere near the shoulder when he was on the ground, so don't worry about it. Anyway... Next up, they were going to have John Cena's match. So they said people could choose Jack Swagger, they could choose Rey Mysterio, or they could choose CM Punk. So they cut backstage. They showed Evan Bourne talking to Cena, said thanks for choosing me last week as your partner. Cena said, no, you were a great guy. You did a great job. Thanks for helping me out. Evan Bourne walked off, got the rub from John Cena, so that should help him out in the long run. John Cena, again, pushing for Evan Bourne to be on TV with him. I don't know if that's going to turn into some sort of backlash when the anti-Cena people decide that they're going to goof off and do their goofy stuff like they always do, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But basically, they had Savannah walk up, ask Cena what he thought of not knowing who his opponent was, and Cena said, you know, he didn't care because he doesn't have to stand around like that goofball waiting to see if he's going to be chosen in the match. He knows he's in the match, so he can just get psyched up, get ready to fight. Cut to backstage. They showed Murdoch waking up from the gas. Mean Gene Okerlund standing there with the microphone. Mean Gene looked bad here tonight. He had problems pronouncing some of the words. His hands got shaky. I thought at one point he was actually having a stroke in the middle of the broadcast. But made fun of Josh Matthews, who was standing behind him. Told Murdoch, you know, you're a great actor. You have the opportunity to live the dream, do a movie that blows the TV show out of the water. Murdoch says, no, I'm looking for B.A. Wait a minute, did you say live the dream? I've got it. That's perfect. Thank you. And he grabs his iPhone, runs out of the room. So, set up for what was going to be happening next. They showed Drew McIntyre coming down to the ring. They said his opponents were Yoshi Tatsu, Goldust, or a mystery opponent. And the mystery guy, they just showed his shadow on the wall. He was doing the Matt Hardy version 1 hand sign. So, of course, mystery guy ended up 88% of the vote. And I had fully expected them to pan the camera over and it would be someone else completely. You know, maybe they were going to have someone like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat goofing off doing hand symbols and then he would go out and do the match or, you know, something like that. But it did, in fact, turn out to be Matt Hardy who gave a hug to Teddy Long. They both said, we got him, we got him. So Matt Hardy goes out to the ring. Drew McIntyre freaks out, grabs the microphone, says, I'm not going to do this because Matt Hardy was suspended. And Teddy Long said, no, Matt Hardy was suspended from SmackDown, not Raw. So we're going to have the match right here, right now. They fought all over the place. They fought outside the ring. They fought inside the ring. Matt hit Drew McIntyre with the Twist of Fate, hit him with the pin, won clean. Drew McIntyre is again buried. Buried. Death of Drew McIntyre. So, again, learn your lesson, everybody. If you somehow make it to the WWE, and Vince McMahon goes on television and says, you are the future of the company, do not walk around and become the world's biggest a-hole backstage, or they will strip you of the title, put you in a goofy storyline, and have you get beaten up several weeks in a row, and end up looking like a complete loser. They showed Quentin Jackson backstage. IRS, Ted DiBiase, Virgil, they said they were going to take him out to the ring because they had to do whatever. I don't even remember. Not important because they come back from commercial and one hand of Rampage is handcuffed to the top rope. Virgil and IRS are holding him back. Ted DiBiase says they brought him down to the ring because everybody has a price, including me. Someone said they wanted me to bring them B.A. Baracus, and so I said my price. They agreed to pay it, and now here we are. So at this point, Rowdy Roddy Piper comes down to the ring, and Rowdy Roddy Piper talks about how he hated Mr. T. He hated the A-Team. He hated everything that happened in WrestleMania 1 in 1985. So he wanted to get his revenge. So, of course, he took off his jacket. He got ready to slap B.A. across the face, which at this point, Rampage snapped the handcuff off, fought off the other guys, got ready for a one-on-one fight with Rowdy Roddy Piper. But everyone else, all the heels recomposed themselves. They were getting ready to do a beatdown on Rampage when suddenly coming out on a golf cart was Murdoch, Mean Gene Okerlund, and the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Told him to live the dream, and the dream, in fact, was a 57-year-old fat guy. So, they all jumped in the ring. They did a bunch of beatdowns. They had Rampage give Ted DiBiase a spinebuster, hit a chokeslam on Virgil. Dusty knocked down IRS, hit him with a couple of bionic elbows. Then Dusty Rhodes got on the microphone and talked about how he loves it when a plan comes together. Nobody cared. Well, nobody cheered. There were quite a few boos during this segment, because this was pretty much downright terrible. But regardless, that's what they ended up doing with those A-team guys, but luckily at this point it was over. And I have to say, at this point, I was just basically looking at my TV going, what the heck am I even watching? This is a train wreck of a show. I got up, I walked into the kitchen, I grabbed a dirty coffee mug from out of the sink, rinsed it out real quick, grabbed a bottle of bourbon, and poured myself a couple shots. Because there's nothing quite like grabbing a dirty glass and drinking some straight alcohol out of it after watching a segment like this, because this is really, I have a feeling that a lot of people turned off the show at this point, or walked away from their TVs, or whatever. When they do a special 3-hour Raw, the ratings are usually down a little bit, because the first hour, everybody forgets to watch, so that first hour just gets completely ignored, gets a terrible rating, but then as soon as the second hour hits, it gets a much better rating. But the show at this point was goofy, lots of skits, bad jokes, matches that didn't mean anything, squashes. Long matches were 5 minutes, you know. One of those type shows. Just very bad show altogether. And I just have a feeling like the huge angle that happens next was probably one of the worst rated segments because of the lead up it had, which is a shame because it actually looks like it has some feet. So let's get into it. They had Josh Matthews backstage. He interviewed Rey Mysterio, Jack Swagger, CM Punk. They are all three the possible opponents against John Cena. It was very obvious during this segment that they wanted Rey Mysterio versus John Cena. They pushed him as the biggest star of the three. But of course, the fans didn't want to see a face versus face match. They wanted to see John Cena beat the crap out of somebody. And if you're going to pick somebody, you're going to pick a heel. And are you going to pick the Jack Swagger heel or the CM Punk heel? CM Punk, much bigger star than Jack Swagger, even though Jack Swagger is the champion. So CM Punk with 45% of the votes. So CM Punk versus Cena. They did a match. They went about, I don't know, a couple minutes at best. Wade Barrett walks down to ringside. Cena stops the match, kind of looks at him, asks what the heck's going on. They show Michael Tarver standing in the ringside, or the on the other side of the barricades in the crowd. He hops over the wall. They show suddenly all the NXT guys hopping over the wall to the outside, kind of surrounding the ring. John Cena grabs CM Punk, throws him outside of the ring, Straight Edge Society, CM Punk. They all get beat downs from the NXT guys. The commentators announce that the NXT guys are here to help John Cena. What a great turn of events, because they beat up Straight Edge Society. Then, instead, the NXT guys all climb into the ring. John Cena realizes he's surrounded by all these guys. He shrugs. Oh, well, what else am I supposed to do? Attacks Wade Barrett, gets the beat down from all the NXT guys. He starts to fight them off at one point, but they all overpower him again. The NXT guys go to the outside. They beat up Matt Stryker. They beat up Jerry Lawler. Michael Cole makes a run for it. Gets away safely. They end up overturning the announce table onto Jerry Lawler. They grab the bell ringer at ringside. And they beat him up. And of course, they grab him away and they start to beat him up. And as soon as they do, a fan reaches in, grabs the hammer and hits the bell. Ding, 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 ding. Like the bell ringer always does when they're trying to get stuff broken up, get security down, whatever. So that was a nice touch by that fan. Whoever he is, he deserves a raise. They then they showed the head of security coming down, getting beaten up. They had the referees getting beaten up. They had Justin Roberts gets beaten up. He gets his shirt ripped off. They choke him out. He made goofy, wacky facials. They grabbed the chairs from the announce table, started throwing them around, breaking them. They pulled the aprons off the ring. They ripped the canvas off. They pulled up the padding so that you could see the wood 2x4s underneath. So all of you wondering how a wrestling ring is put together, there are basically a few metal bars going one direction Then there's another layer of metal bars going the other direction, making a crisscross. On top of that, they place the boards. Then they put those thin pads, and they put the canvas on top. So all of you wondering how much padding is actually on a wrestling ring, you saw it there. It's about 1.5 inches, maybe 2 inches, but that's about it. They started pulling up the pads at ringside. They grabbed the wrenches for the turnbuckles, and they untwisted the turnbuckle clasps, knocked the ropes loose. They tried to choke John Cena with the ropes. They hit running clotheslines on John Cena. They kept lifting him up, hitting running clotheslines. They spent a lot of time on Skip Sheffield hitting a big move. They spent a lot of time on Bryan Danielson spitting in John Cena's face and hitting him with the execution kick. They spent a lot of time on Justin Gabriel going to the top rope, hitting his 450. And then they spent a lot of time on Wade Barrett doing his fireman carry rollover slam. I forget what it's called. But regardless, all those guys beat everyone up. They were all wearing armbands with the NXT N on it. And it very much appeared as if NXT was becoming its own faction, and in fact, its own brand. So you may see this next season of NXT, they announced the new guys on the show, they gave them a bunch of goofy names, bad gimmicks, gave them a bunch of wacky pros that they were going to work with, may in fact end up being that NXT becomes a one-hour wrestling show. And it'll end up being the Season 1 guys versus the Season 2 guys, with the WWE stars coming in here and there trying to coach the Season 2 guys on how to overcome the Season 1 guys. And it may, in fact, end up being that NXT goes back to being like the old WWE CW, where it has its own stars who are guys that you hadn't seen, the new blood, so to speak, the guys who came in. You'll have NXT 1 versus NXT 2 in the same way that you had New Blood versus the ECW originals. And it looks like that's the direction that they're going, but we'll just have to wait and see after what happens tonight. Of course, tonight, live NXT show, which they are hoping will be super highly rated. It's the Season 2 premiere, but of course, it's the Raw rollover effect from this angle. There have been a lot of people saying that this angle with NXT is... looks like, and it is meant to mirror the NWO. So we'll just have to see what happens there. Like the NWO, though, there may be too many guys to be a true faction, but we will have to see. But of course, they put Cena on the backboard. They had the EMTs, referees, whatever, come help him get out of the ring. And as they were carting him up the ramp and taking him backstage, he gave the crowd the thumbs up to show he will be okay, which got a mixed reaction of cheers and boos, because a lot of people, of course, boo John Cena, because that's the cool thing to do. So, there's your edition of Monday Night Raw. The last 15 minutes, if you can watch the last 15 minutes, and in fact, you can watch a highlight package of it online, WWE.com, I recommend you go check it out if you missed it. If you have DVR'd the entire show, and you think maybe you'll watch it later tonight, tomorrow, whatever, seriously, just skip ahead 45 minutes or so, you'll be fine. And then, of course, if you're like Pixel Dan and your DVR didn't record the show and all you caught was the end anyway, you've seen the best part, don't even bother on checking up on the rest. Because, as we know, Taboo Tuesday failed as a pay-per-view event. They made it Cyber Sunday. It still does no buys. And as a Monday Night Raw, it is just a terrible idea. The best part of the night was, in fact, the part that had nothing to do with anything that had to do with the viewer's choice fan voting. That's going to wrap it up for today. Thanks, guys, for listening. We will talk to you again on Friday with your recap of Superstars and your spoilerific look at Friday Night SmackDown.
If you marry tonight, gnarly.
Fuck his ass. savage. Fuck you, bastard. Yahoo! 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 Yes! Fuck you, bastard. Fuck his ass. Fuck his ass. Fuck his ass.